Shabbat Shalom. Alrighty, here we are again. Let's start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne and we thank you and we bless you for another wonderful week. We thank you for providing all our daily needs and so much more. We thank you for hearing our prayers. And we thank you, Father, for calling us out of a world of darkness into your wonderful family. We pray, Father, and we ask that we could enter your rest for this Sabbath. We pray for those who suffer in the world. We pray for those families that are suffering and people dying over the virus. And we pray for your people all over the earth, Father, especially those who are under persecution in these times that we're living in. We give you all praise and honor and glory, and we thank you most especially for sending your Son to pay the penalty of our sins. In Yeshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. So I pray everybody had a wonderful Shavuot. I've gotten many, many, many reports from our congregations around the world. And everywhere were good reports. Didn't have any negative reports, only good reports and Yahweh's Spirit being poured out and blessings that people were getting. And here we are again. It's a blessing to be back with the Bible study. And like so many brethren said, you know, it's like the olden days when we had radios and you listen to the radio and it's like having everybody with us as we're doing our Friday night Bible study, Erev Shabbat Bible study. So I'm continuing with the lessons. I'm not necessarily going in order because certain times of the year there'll be certain lessons I'd like to go over. So right now, today, I'm going to be starting with correspondence course number 10. The family name of the Creator. The family name of the Creator. We'll probably do this in two lessons. Do part one today, and then part two, we'll go over with the name of Yeshua and continue up what we don't finish up today. But for me, this is one of my favorite Bible studies to do. Because I came to the faith not knowing the name of the Creator. Matter of fact, from at least the first 13, 14, almost 15 years that I was in the faith, I never even knew that the Creator had a name. I never knew that the Savior's name wasn't Jesus. So for me, finding out the name of Yahweh was awesome. And studying it for years and even till today, every day I thank Yahweh that he opened up my mind to his name. Because it seems so simple. It's not something that you have to do years and years of studying to. It's not something that, you know, is all knowledge-based in like learning a language. It's just simply his name. And yet, when you think about it, like I've said this in sermons about this before, that I've never ever, not only haven't happened to me, I've never in my life ever heard of somebody coming up and telling someone else their name, no matter where you live in the world. It could be anywhere from Babylon to China. I've never heard a story where somebody says, yes, you know, my name is Wilford. And somebody says, no, it's not. You know, your name is Edwin or something like that. It just doesn't happen. Somebody tells you their name and you accept their name. And a matter of fact, as we're going to get into here, even names being transliterated and not translated, as we'll see, sometimes even someone doesn't even want their name transliterated, you know. So you could look like my grandfather's name was Pasquale, which is the name Patrick. Pasquale Patrick, it's the same name. But sometimes somebody will say, no, don't call me Patrick, call me Pasquale. So in Spanish, you know, the name George, Jorge, it's because of the G is pronounced differently. And someone might say, no, don't say George, say Jorge. But it's still transliterated, as we'll get into later in the message. Meaningly, it's the same letters, it's spelled the same way, but it's phonetically pronounced different in each language. So for me, like I said, it's a mystery why something that is so simple that you can prove dogmatically, why people fight it, why they don't listen to it. Even when they know the truth, they'll still use the wrong name for the Creator. Even though it's not 99%, it's 100% incorrect, the names that are being used in English. I don't know. All I know is I thank Yahweh every day in my life that he has opened up my mind to his name, because it's more than just a name. It's the family name. You know, the name Yahweh is actually a family name. And we went over this when we went over lesson 3 with the family of Yahweh, that there's Yahweh the Father, and there's Yeshua Yahweh the Son. And when he's at baptism, impregnating us with his Holy Spirit, and we are becoming begotten children of his, to soon be born at Yeshua's return to this earth into his family. So the name is extremely important, because it literally is what makes you a family member. So I'm not going to get into that so much. We've done that in lesson 3. Today I really want to get into the name itself. The name itself, how it was lost, why it's important to use the name, what is the correct name, and showing that it's so important that it literally is one of the Ten Commandments. So in the book of Jacob, chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "Whoever shall keep all the Torah, yet even though he fail in but one statute, he has become guilty of all of it." So we see it's the Ten Commandments. It's not the Six Commandments. It's not the Eight Commandments. It's not the Nine Commandments. And I've said this many times in sermons, that Satan can care less if you keep 9 of the commandments perfectly, as long as you are consistently breaking one of them. Because that's all it takes, as we see here. When you break them one, you break them all. So there's no justification before Yahweh to say, "Well, I kept 4 through 8 perfectly, but I'm consistently every day breaking 1 or 2 or 10 or whatever." So that's why we have to study every one of these commandments. We have to make sure that we're not. And I think this is one that people don't realize they're breaking it. But whether you realize you're breaking it or not, it's still a sin. So maybe the accountability may be less. The same way with adultery, it's very clear. You leave your spouse and marry another, it's adultery. But in the world we live in today, many people don't realize it. So is it still adultery? Of course it is. But at least it's not willful sin in a lot of cases. So the accountability would be less. So I want to go over now, because of that, the third commandment. Because like I said, you break one, you break them all. And the third commandment literally says, "You shall not take the name of Yahweh, your Elohim, in vain. For Yahweh will not leave unpunished the one who takes his name in vain." Very, very clearly. So it doesn't say you shall not take the name of the Lord your God. It does not say that. That is, it's not even a translation, because like I said, names are transliterated. They're not translated. That is not in your Bible. And the Bible is written in Hebrew originally. The Bible was not written in English. I was arguing one day, or discussing, whatever you want to call it, with a born-again Christian fella who was trying to tell me that the Bible was originally written in English. So where do you go from there? Considering English is a language that's only a couple hundred years old, and Hebrew is an ancient language of thousands and thousands of years old. But the Bible is written in Hebrew, and in Hebrew it literally says, "You shall not take the name of Yahweh your Elohim." Yahweh your Elohim. In the Hebrew, it's Yod, He, Vav, He. Those are the 4 letters. That's why it's sometimes called the Tetragrammaton, meaning 4 letters. But you're not to take that in vain. And I think what happens is, even in English, I think people don't know what in vain means. What does in vain mean? So beside the name being Yahweh, what does it mean not to take his name in vain? Well, if you look it up, you could look it up in a Strong's Concordance or a Young's Concordance, whatever. But you could look that Hebrew word up. And the Hebrew word is shav. That's what the word means. And it literally means to change, to falsify, or to make common. To change, to falsify, or to make common. So literally, you're not to take the personal name, as we'll see, the personal name of Yahweh. Yod, He, Vav, He, the 4 letters. And you're not to change it. So if you take that name and you make it into God or Lord or anything else, you're changing it. Right? You're not to falsify. So you're falsifying it because you're taking a Hebrew name that Yahweh says, "This is my name forever," and you're falsifying it. You're making people think that the name is God or Lord, which it's not. And beside that, you're making a comment. Because in English, the word God and Lord are titles. They're titles. The same way you are not to take the name of Yahweh, your Elohim. What does Elohim mean? Elohim is the Hebrew generic word for deity. And that's why it can be a true deity like Yahweh, or it could be a false deity. Baal is an Elohim. He's a false Elohim. But you use the same word. It's the generic term for deity. So when it says Yahweh, your deity. Yahweh, your Elohim. But it's a common. It's not a personal name, Elohim. The same way as God or Lord is not a personal name. It's a generic title. The same way that I always say, I'm a man, but that's not my name, right? If someone were to see you, you don't say, hello, I'm man, you know? It doesn't go that way. Maybe unless you watch a Tarzan movie, because he names everybody boy or whatever it is. But in reality, in real life, it doesn't work that way. I don't introduce myself, hi, I'm man. This is my wife, woman. This is our child, girl. No, it doesn't work that way. So, and when you do that, what you're doing is you're making the name common. So you can't take the name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, this personal name, this set-apart name, this name above every name, as we'll see, because humans didn't name that name to our Creator. Our Creator gave us that is His name. He told us that is His name. So if you're simply calling Him by a generic title, and beside the fact, and we'll get into this, that the God is the personal name of a Babylonian deity. We'll get into that a little bit. But let's even say it's in English as it is. It's just a generic title. Well, how can you call your Creator by the name of a generic title when He has a personal name? So it's actually breaking the third commandment in every sense of the word, because the third commandment says you shall not change, falsify, or make common. When you take the name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the name of Yahweh in Hebrew, and you change it to Lord, God, or any other title, you are changing, falsifying, you're making the name common, and you are breaking the third commandment. So people may argue with it. I know for me, when I was first told this many, many, many years ago, my first question was, that can't be. That's impossible. Well, if you could prove to me that the Creator's name in the original Bible in Hebrew, that His name is Yahweh, of course I'll start using it. Is it, how many times is it there? And you find out it's there almost 7,000 times. 6,893 times. Close to 7,000 times. Only in the Tanakh. That's not even including the Brit Hadashah and the Aramaic, which also has hundreds of times the name of Yahweh there. So close to 7,000 times. So how on earth can anyone deny it? How can you deny it? So it's not one mistranslation. It's not once or twice that something was turned. You have almost 7,000 times that the translators took the personal name of Yahweh the Creator and changed it. And changed it there. So it is definitely breaking the third commandment. And it's making it common. So in today in the Bible study, we want to show the importance of the family name of the Creator and how the name in Scripture is supposed to be set apart above every other name. So let's start to show, first of all, that the Father, this is the name that the Father is given. So Exodus 3 and verse 15. Exodus 3 and verse 15 says, and Elohim, again, generic for deity, right? Elohim says to Moses again, you shall say this to the sons of Israel, Yahweh, the Eloah of your fathers, the Eloah of Abraham, the Eloah of Isaac, the Eloah of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. Yahweh, the Eloah, right? The generic term for deity can be El is singular, Eloah is singular, or Elohim is plural. He says, the Eloah of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent me to you. This Yahweh, this is my name forever, and this is how I should be remembered from generation to generation. So sometimes people will falsely say, well, the Creator has many names. No, He does not. He has many titles. In Scripture, as we'll see, He's the Almighty. He's the Eternal. All these different titles that he has. But there's only one name that he gives us in Scripture, because that's the family name. And the name is Yahweh. And he says, this is my name forever. So very, very clear. Clearly from Scripture, Yahweh is the name that the Creator called himself for all generations. And, you know, I say it's very interesting, because human beings are very prideful in nature. And I know it's happened to me before, like you meet somebody and maybe their name is a little bit different, you know. Like the name, let's say the name John. Maybe somebody has the name that looks like John, but it's not John. It's John. John. Or you could say the same thing. In French, right? The name John is Jean. That's, you say it like that, you know? Like where we would keep the feast in Jerusalem. Sister John is actually, the way you spell it, is Jean, G-E-A-N. So sometimes if you were to say to somebody, hi, Jean, and they said, no, not Jean, Jean. Because for human beings, they want their name pronounced exactly the right way. Exactly. And I mean on how you put the pronunciation on the syllable, whatever. And that's the way human beings are, because they're prideful. Yet, we're supposed to believe the creator of the universe, the creator who has made everything, that is, it has no beginning and no end, who's self-sustaining, who is above everything, and he tells us this is his name, that name doesn't matter. And it's so illogical that when I've went over what I've went over with you right now and said this to people, how they say, well, it really doesn't matter. He knows my heart. He knows my thoughts. I say, yeah, he knows your heart, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's the problem. He knows your heart. And there's no reason in the world, except for tradition, why people wouldn't use the name of the Creator. So, like I said, in Hebrew, every name has meaning. You know, the name Daniel, Elohim is my judge, right? Eliyah, you know, Yahweh is my El. You know, it doesn't matter. Every single name, there's not a name that you can't show in Hebrew that doesn't have meaning to it. So like I said, are we supposed to think that Yahweh gave meaning to every single name that he named, and yet his name is supposed to have no meaning? It makes no sense whatsoever. And like I said, actually, Yahweh is the family name of the Creator. And just like when a wife marries a husband and she takes the family name of the husband, it's the same way when we're, because she's going into covenant with the husband, when we're going into covenant with Yeshua and we're joining the Yahweh family, he is putting his name upon us. Ephesians 3, 14 and 15 says, for this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Master, Yeshua Messiah, of whom the entire family in heaven and earth is named. So the entire family in heaven and earth is named after Yahweh. And that's why we're called the congregation of Yahweh, because Yeshua kept the congregation in the Father's name. We'll get into that a little later also. So if this is the case, how did the name change? How on earth today that, and maybe in the computer age, I got to say in the last 20 years, there's many thousands of more, I don't know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe even in the millions of people that are knowing the name now of Yahweh that didn't know it before. But if you went 20 years ago, you know, before the computer age, really 20, 25 years ago, hardly anyone had ever heard of that name. And if they did hear the name, they heard of the incorrect name. They heard of the name Jehovah, which we'll see again is impossible. There's no letter J in the Hebrew language, so the Creator's name could not be Jehovah. But how did the name get changed? Well, remember, before the year around 1500, whatever it was, 1400 and whatnot, and the printing press came, the only Bibles that were there were in the synagogues, in the churches. So people didn't have personal Bibles of their own. And after the invention of the printing press, what's the first Bible? I mean, what's the first book that was printed? The Bible. That's the first book that they printed. So now the average person can also have a Bible. So We have the Wycliffe Bible, was one of the first Bibles to be printed, and then also the King James Bible around 1592. So actually, when they printed those first Bibles in English, they actually had the name Yahweh in the Bible. They had it there, the name Yah and the name Yahweh. But due to anti-Semitic pogroms against the Jewish people, anything that even remotely looked Jewish, they wanted to get rid of. And that's the around the same time, remember, in the mid-1500s, Martin Luther. And everybody knows Martin Luther, right? Because he starts the Protestant church. But Martin Luther was actually a Catholic monk. So when he looks, if you look at the 93 theses that he put on the Vatican door, a lot of them had to do with, you know, Catholic inner things. But Martin Luther was a Catholic monk. And, you know, as he's writing his thesis, and literally originally the Sabbath was one of those theses, that Sunday was not. But again, it was too Jewish sounding, so they took it off from him. And the same with the name Yahweh. So when you're looking at that today, the only reason that somebody can give for wanting to use God and Lord is tradition. There's nothing else, because you can prove dogmatically that is not his name. It's very simple. Like I said, names are transliterated. They're not translated. What do I mean by that? Well, when you're looking at a translation, like right now I have a glass of water. Very nice. In English, we say water. In Italian, we'd say aqua. And in Hebrew, we'd say mayim. So those words, aqua, mayim, and water, have nothing to do. They don't sound the same. They're not phonetically connected. There's no connection. It's a translation. Because in translations, there are no connections. In one language, it's said like this. In another language, it's said like that. Names are not translated. Names are transliterated. What's the difference? The difference is the name stays the same. The only thing that changes is the phonetic pronunciation. That's why if you take the name J-O-S-E, right? Now, you could look at that name and the name Jose, J-O-S-E, right? Because the J can be pronounced like an H in Spanish. Yet, if English, you might say Josie instead of Jose. You could say Josie. So it's the same name. It's spelled the same, but there's a difference just in the pronunciation of the way that you would say it. You know. So that's it. So names are transliterated. They're not translated. And I say, just turn on a foreign news. It doesn't matter what language you're in. We've heard a lot of them in Spanish. We've heard a lot in Hebrew. We've heard a lot in all different languages. And if you listen, you know, you'll hear blah, 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 in the language, and then all of a sudden you're George Bush, blah, 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 George Bush, blah, 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 Barack Hussein Obama. Because names are not translated. So that's the only thing you could know. If you don't know anything about a language, you can hear the names. Today it might be Donald Trump, the name that they're saying. But the name would stay the same, except the small phonetic differences that could be in the name. So anybody who doesn't want to see something that's so simple and still would want to use the wrong name and the wrong titles, there's not really much you can say about it. But one thing is certain, you know, that when you take the name Yahweh and you take it out 7,000 times just in the Tanakh and you replace it with Lord or God, that number one, you're breaking the third commandment because you're changing, you're falsifying, and you're making the name of Yahweh common. And also you're adding to Scripture. You're adding something there. You're taking away from Scripture. And the worst you could take away, the literal name of the Creator himself. And you're also adding something there that's not there. Deuteronomy 4:2 says, you shall not add to the word that I've commanded you, nor take from it, to keep the commandment of Yahweh your Elohim, which I commanded you. Revelation 22:19 says, and if anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, Yahweh will take away his part from the book of life and out of the holy city and the things having been written in the book. So we see very, very clearly that it really is a grave sin to take the Creator's name out of Scripture and to change it with something else. I also want to prove to somebody, because sometimes what people will say is, well, God is simply the translation of Yahweh from Hebrew. And like I said, no, because names are not translated, they're transliterated. But just to prove to you from Scripture that God cannot be the personal name of the Creator, I want to read you a Scripture, Exodus 3:13. I'm going to read it from the King James, because we don't have the wrong names in our Bible, but probably 95% of translations have it this way. And this is when Moses goes to Yahweh, when he goes to Elohim, and Yahweh is telling Moses, you're going to go to the children of Israel to take them out. And what is the answer? Exodus 3:13. And Moses says to God, that's the way they have it, right? Behold, I shall come to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Okay, so this is what's happening here, right? Moses is going to the deity, and he's telling the deity, when I go to the children of Israel and I say to them, God has sent me, what are they going to say? And they will say to me, what is his name? What is his name? So right there, right? And this is coming not from our translation. This is coming from King James, NIV, every other translation. Look, when Moses is saying, if I go to them and say, God has sent me, their answer is, what is his name? God cannot be his name. Because if God was his name, then they wouldn't ask, what is his name? So clearly, God, or more correctly rendered, really, it should be Elohim, is the Hebrew, is a generic title, and it's not the personal name. So like I said, when people say, you know, God has many names, no, Yahweh doesn't have many names. There may be many gods, but they're all false, you know, but Yahweh has one name. He has one name. And if you're honest, right, even if you're looking at the word God as just a generic use, I always say this, Christianity has to be the poorest religion in the world, because the only religion that doesn't have a personal name for their deity, right? I mean, you know, even if it is a generic title, then what about the name, though? Because be honest, if somebody came into your congregation and they were praying, and at the end of the prayer they said, in the name of Allah, I don't know too many people that are going to say the amen, because the amen is, you're giving your approval on that prayer. And why would you say the amen if someone's praying in the name of Allah, a false god? Or if someone prays in the name of Vishnu, you know, the Indian deity, or somebody prays in the name of Baal? None of you are going to say that. Nobody is going to say amen. So why then? Why, if you wouldn't say the amen to Vishnu or Baal or to Allah, why would you say it to God? Because not only is God not the name of the Creator, but that name, God, is one time in your Bible. It's the personal name of the Babylonian deity. So I want to just go there. Isaiah 65 and verse 11, he says, but you are those who forsake Yahweh. You are those who forsake Yahweh and forget my holy mountain, who array a table for God, a table for God, the Babylonian deity, and who fill mixed wine for Mene, the deity of fate. So God is the Babylonian deity of fortune. That's why the Babylonian money in America says, in God we trust, because it's the Babylonian deity of fortune, and Mene is the Babylonian deity of fate. All you have to do is get yourself a concordance. The word is 1408, because many Bibles use the word troop. If you look in a King James, it'll say, you forsake Yahweh and forget my holy mountain, array a table for a troop. And they really try to hide that fact. But if you look up that word is God. God, the Babylonian deity. So not only is God not the name of our Creator, but is the personal name of the Babylonian deity. And, you know, the other thing is very interesting is, and we'll get into it. If we don't get into it in this study, we'll definitely do it next week, in how to pronounce the name of Yahweh. How do you pronounce those four letters, the Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey? And people pronounce it all wrong. People pronounce Yeshua's name wrong. But, you know, I always say, isn't it interesting that anywhere you go in the world, any language, the name Satan is the same? Nobody gets that wrong. Nobody gets Satan's name or the devil. They all have the same name. Nobody's arguing over it, you know, that no, it should be this way or it should be that way. No, it's all the same. So it's really interesting that the God of this world, who is Satan, literally has the whole world knowing his name, but he is trying to hide the name of the Creator from him. So once again, Exodus 3:15, the Elohim said to Moses again, "You shall say to the sons of Israel." So when Moses is going and saying, "God has sent me," right? And they're going to ask, "What is his name?" What's Yahweh's answer? "This is what you shall say. The Eloah of your fathers, the Eloah of Abraham, the Eloah of Isaac, the Eloah of Jacob has sent me to you." Or rather, "You shall say this to the sons of Israel. Yahweh, the Eloah of your fathers, the Eloah of Abraham, the Eloah of Isaac, the Eloah of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. You shall say to the sons of Israel, Yahweh, this is my name forever, and this is how I should be remembered from generation to generation." Like I said, Yahweh is all-powerful, he's omnipotent, he's all-merciful, he has all kinds of titles and attributes, but he has one personal name. It's that simple. So when somebody says that Yahweh is called, has many personal names from Scripture, they simply don't know what they are talking about. If you look, actually, like I said, 7,000 times, 6,893, could be up to 6,900, because there's about 123 times in the Masoretic text, the received text of the Hebrew, where they changed the name of Yahweh to Adonai. They did that when there was maybe two Yahwehs in one sentence and they felt it was redundant. But there's around close to 7,000 times the name Yahweh is used. The name Elohim, which I said is generic for deity, that's used roughly 2,500 times. So not even around a third almost of the name of Yahweh. And then when we're looking at other names, El Shaddai, El Elyon, you know, Yahweh is the healer, the deliverer. They're all used only a few times except for Adonai. Adonai is used about 408 times. And Adonai means master. It means like, and it's kind of interesting because the word Adon, which means sir, if you went into a store in Israel, when you walk in, they'd say, Bavakasha Adon, you know, can I help you, sir? But when you put that word Adon in the plural, Adonai, it's only used for Yahweh. In the plural form, it's only used for Yahweh. But that word Adon, even in other languages, you know, the word, even the word Don, you know, the Don, you know, which is like the leader, you know, the kingpin. The word Don is used in different languages for the word Mr., Master, whatever. But Adonai in the plural is only used for Yahweh in Hebrew. It's not never used for a person. It's only used for Yahweh. So when you're looking also at not using the names, I'll go into a scripture here. Exodus 22:20. Because what does Yahweh say about calling on the personal name of other deities except his name only? Exodus 22:20. "One sacrificing to a god shall be destroyed unless it is only to Yahweh." Exodus 23:13. "And be watchful in all that I have said to you. And you shall not call upon another Elohim by name. It shall not be heard from your mouth." So if you look this up, some people, they won't even pronounce the name. They won't pronounce the name. And it's kind of hard to do because there are the names of false deities in your Bible. The name Baal is a false deity and it's in the Bible. The word name of Moloch is a false deity in your Bible. So when Yahweh says, "You shall not call upon another Elohim by name, it shall not be heard from your mouth," he's not talking about not reading scripture. He's talking about when he's saying you shall not call upon, he's talking about pray to. He's talking about call upon, meaning to invoke something from that false deity. And that's what he's talking about. You're not to pray. So clearly, if you're praying to God or Lord, then what you're doing is you're breaking the third commandment, you're taking his name in vain, and you're also breaking this commandment here because you're invoking a prayer to the name of a false deity, the name of a Babylonian deity. But that scripture is not talking about simply just reading scripture and saying the name. So, like I said, I know that firsthand, I mean, I've known this now, praise Yahweh, for 25 years about, I've known his name. And I know how shocking it was to me when I first found out about it. I know how shocking it can be to people when they first find out about it. And again, we're creatures of habit, you know. It took me about 2 years before I didn't have those pagan titles and names in my head anymore, not saying them. So we're not being judgmental to people that are coming into the truth and they're trying to change over from the false name. But we do want to make sure that they understand the importance of it. And they do have to try. And through time, it shouldn't take more than a few months or 6 months, whatever, to get those things out of your mouth. And again, to some people it may sound offensive because they're religious minded in their whole life. They're praying to Jesus or God. They're praying to the wrong names and they're offended by it. So our intention is not to offend somebody. You know, like I said, we're the ministry of reconciliation, not condemnation. But we wouldn't be loving our neighbor if we didn't bring the truth. Because when people, it's no different than somebody worshiping on the wrong day or worshiping Christmas or Ishtar Sunday, which are pagan holidays. It's the same way here. And even more important, because like I said, this isn't just a day. This is the very family name of the Creator. And Yahweh is jealous. He's jealous. If we look in Exodus 20, verse 5, he says, "You shall not bow down to them," talking about false deities. "You shall not serve them. For I am Yahweh your Elohim, a jealous El, visiting the iniquity of fathers on sons, on the third to the fourth generation of those that hate me." So Yahweh is a jealous Elohim. And a matter of fact, if you go to Ezekiel 39 and verse 25, Ezekiel 39 and verse 25 says, "So Adonai Yahweh says this, now I will return the captivity of Jacob and will have mercy on all the house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name." So he's not just jealous for his people and jealous for his land. He is literally jealous for his name because he is the creator of everything. And the name Yahweh comes from the verb haya, to be, to exist. He didn't come into being. He wasn't created. He just existed. So that's what his name means. The existent one, the eternal one, the all existent one, you know. So, of course, he's jealous of his name because nobody else can take that title, that name, actually. Nobody else, the meaning of that name, nobody else can take that. So I hope people that maybe are hearing this for the first time are starting to understand the importance of this, because you cannot take the name of pagan deities and think that you can call the creator of the universe from it and that is going to be okay with him. It's just not that way. And a matter of fact, even in the Brit Hadashah, even in the New Testament, do you remember when Paul was in Athens? And he's telling them that they have many false deities. They have many, quote unquote, gods, right? And in Acts 17, do you want to go there to Acts 17? And verse 23, Paul even saw a name to an unknown deity. They had so many deities that they even had one that didn't have a name. He says, "For as I was rambling about," Acts 17 and verse 23, "in looking up at the objects of your worship, I also found an altar on which had been written, 'To the hidden Elohim.' Not knowing then whom you worship, I make him known to you." I make him known to you. And he took that opportunity to make known the name of Yahweh to these people because they didn't know. They didn't know who this, and that's what he wanted to show them. They're following all these false deities, and in the Greeks they had the deity of wine, the deity of this, the deity of that. But he wanted to show them Yahweh, the true deity. And Did they have accountability after Paul taught them? Yes, look at verse 30 of Acts 17. He says, truly then, Yahweh, overlooking the times of this ignorance, but now strictly commands all men everywhere to repent. So it's not a coincidence that this is coming out now, right? And we could ask questions, you know, why Yahweh hid this maybe from Church of God or some of the other remnants. But that's not pertinent at this point. What's pertinent is we are the last generation. We are the restoration ministry, right? We are the ministry that Yahweh has been using for the last 20 years of bringing this message of the doctrine of the judicial order of Jerusalem to the nations. So Yahweh has to have his name. He has to. There's no way in the restoration ministry where he's restoring all things that he could ever, even if someone had the most best intention in the world, that he could use somebody that's using a false name. It's just that simple, you know. So it is important, like I said, not being judgmental. We're here to share that good news of the ministry of reconciliation, not condemnation. But it is extremely important, and that's why Yahweh calls people to repent and to change. So I want to go over some scriptures here because I want to show you it's so much more than just knowing the name of the Creator. Because without knowing his name, do you know how many different things in scripture we're told to do to the name of Yahweh? Let me read a few and we'll see here. Psalm 34, starting in verse 1. I will bless Yahweh at all times. His praise shall always be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in Yahweh. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify Yahweh with me, and let us exalt his name together. Right? So I'm not changing anything. This is the original Hebrew. Is saying, oh, magnify Yahweh with me, and let us exalt his name together. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 47. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 47. Yahweh lives, and blessed be my rock, and is exalted the Elohim of the rock of my Yeshua. The Elohim who gives vengeance for me and brings down people under me and brings me forth from my enemies, yea, you raise me up above those rising up against me. You deliver me from the men of violence. On account of this, I will confess you, Yahweh, among nations, and I will sing praise to your name. Wow. So, over here, scripture is actually commanding us to praise the name of Yahweh, to bless the name of Yahweh, and even sing to the name of Yahweh. So there's many things, if you're not using the proper name, that you can't do. You can't bless him. You can't praise him. You can't sing to him. So it's only proper that we give this honor to the true name of Yahweh, not to false names. And like I said, are we also to specifically pray only to the name of Yahweh? We said that before. In Exodus 23, be watchful in all that I have said to you, and you shall not call upon another Elohim by name. It shall not be heard from your mouth. You're not to pray. You're not to request. And then also in Psalm 99, in verse 2. Psalm 99, verse 2. Yahweh is great in Mount Zion, and he is high above all the people. They shall thank your great and fearful name. It is holy. The king's strength also loves judgment. You establish uprightness. You work judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt Yahweh our Elohim and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called to Yahweh, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the cloudy pillar, and they kept his testimonies and the Torah that he gave to them. You answered them, O Yahweh, or Elohim. To them you were an El who forgives them, but taking vengeance on their works. Exalt Yahweh, or Elohim, and worship at your holy hill, for Yahweh, our Elohim, is holy. Wow. So here we are, told we pray to Yahweh, we exalt the name of Yahweh. Go to Psalm 105, a few pages more over. Psalm 105, starting in verse 1. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, call on his name. Call on his name. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, call on his name. Make his deeds known among the people. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek Yahweh rejoice. Seek Yahweh in his strength. Seek his face without ceasing. Remember his wonders that he has done, his miracles and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of his servant Abraham, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is Yahweh our Elohim. His judgments are in all the earth. Wow. And this is, I mean, time-wise, you know, in 1 hour Bible study, there's only so much I can go over. But you could read the Psalms. This is over and over and over and over, not only in the Psalms, but all throughout the Bible, but particularly in the Psalms, right? So I'm just giving you a few out of hundreds of examples that are there. So next, I've also heard people say, well, if the name of Yahweh was so important, then why didn't Yeshua use the name? And he did. The problem is you're reading from a Greek translation that is not the original. If you look in the original Aramaic manuscripts, you'll see the name Yahweh is there. I haven't counted all of them, but it's there many times, maybe 100, maybe more, but it's there many, many times. But it's very interesting the importance that Yeshua did put on the name. And actually, if we go to Luke 11, in verse 1, the second part of verse 1, Luke 11, the second part of verse 1, and this is where his disciples come to him and they were asking Yeshua to teach them to pray. And it says, one of his disciples said to him, Master, talking to Yeshua, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So this is again, the more I get older and the more I read the Brit Hadashah in the New Testament, particularly Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, I see it really is simple. It's profound. I mean, the way that Yeshua answered the people, his answers, I mean, it's just that nobody had the wisdom that he had. You know, they say Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, but Yeshua had him by about 1,000-fold. His answers are just so profound. So right here, there's no mystery. There's no hiding. It was very simple. Teach us to pray the way John did. And look at his answer there in verse 2. Luke 11 and verse 2. So then you should pray this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. So the first thing, and this is not a repetitious prayer that Yeshua gave for people to say every day. It's an outline of prayer, right? He's telling us to pray for the kingdom. He's telling us to pray for forgiveness. He's telling us pray and forgive people that have hurt us. But the very first thing in the way that Yeshua taught the disciples to pray to the Father was, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So that's the very first thing that Yeshua says, you hallow the name of Yahweh. You hallow the name of Yahweh. So it's interesting that that's the first thing that Yeshua said. Let's also go now and look at a prayer from King David, an amazing prayer that he gave concerning the name of Yahweh, and it's in 1 Chronicles 16. I'll start in verse 7 to 11, then I'll drop down to verse 14 and 23. So 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 7 says, then on that day David first gave by the hand of Asaph and his brothers to give thanks to Yahweh. And then David says, oh, give thanks to Yahweh. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him, to Yahweh. Sing psalms to him. Tell of all his marvelous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those seeking Yahweh rejoice. Seek Yahweh in his strength. Seek his face continuously. Drop down to verse 14. He is Yahweh or Elohim. His judgments are in all the earth. Drop down to verse 23. Sing to Yahweh, all the earth. Proclaim the news from day to day of his salvation. We know in Hebrew the word for salvation is Yeshua. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the people. For great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared among all the Elohim. All the gods of the people are worthless. Yea, Yahweh has made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his place. Give to Yahweh, O families of the people. Give to Yahweh glory and strength. Give to Yahweh the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship Yahweh in the adornment of holiness. So give to Yahweh the glory due his name. There's one being in the world, right? One Father of all, one amazing King of the universe, Father of everything, Father of Yeshua, Creator of all. And why wouldn't we want it? At least give him the honor and respect of calling him by the proper name. So here it is, David, the greatest king that Israel ever had, and the one that will be third in the kingdom underneath Yahweh and Yeshua. And not only did he know the name of Yahweh, the creator, but over and over and over, he gave glory and reverence to the name of Yahweh. So how about in the congregation, Yeshua's congregation? Are we supposed to give glory to the name of Yahweh? We said, of course. When Yeshua taught his disciples to pray, that's the first thing he said. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Give hallowed holiness, you know, set apart. Keep the name of the Father sanctified. We went over before Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Master, Yeshua Messiah, of whom every family in heaven and earth is named. So that's what I say. It's a family name. Everybody's named after that, after the name of Yahweh. John 17 and verse 6. And this is Yeshua, his last prayer to the Father before he's going to be crucified. And he said, I revealed your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. So Yeshua revealed the name of the Father to them. Verse 11, and no longer am I in the world, yet these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, those whom you gave to me, that they may be echad, united as we are united. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. I guarded those whom you gave me, and not one of them was lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. This is why we use the name Congregation of Yahweh. Some use assembly. It's similar. The word can mean assembly or congregation. I like congregation better because assembly, to me, in English, just means like a group of people. You know, the assembly. It's a group of people assembled. But the word congregation, the idah in Hebrew, it's actually like a group. You know, it's the people. You know, it's a group of a certain type of people. So not to say assembly is wrong, the word assembly, some use assembly of Yahweh, that's okay. But we use congregation of Yahweh. It means the same thing, but it's to be kept that way. 1 Corinthians 1:2, to the congregation of Yahweh, which is in Corinth. Acts 20 and verse 28. Then take heed to yourself and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit placed you of overseers to shepherd the congregation of Yahweh, which he purchased with his own blood. 1 Timothy 3:5, but if anyone does not know how to rule his own house, how will he care for a congregation of Yahweh? So very, very clearly, I believe there's around 12 references of the congregation being in the name of the Father. And even in the Tanakh, even in the First Covenant, Numbers 27, 15 through 17, I won't go there, but it talks about the congregation of Yahweh. Another one is Micah 2 and verse 5. Excuse me. Micah 2 and verse 5 says, so there shall not be for you one casting a line by lot in the congregation of Yahweh. So we see that there's several times in the Tanakh where also the term congregation of Yahweh is used. So again, how on earth something that important, how could it be lost? How on earth can it be lost? And one of the things is that, remember, before the new covenant, who had the oracles of Yahweh? We know it from Romans 3, the Jews, our brother Judah. Judah never went into captivity completely like the northern tribes. And they had the oracles of Yahweh. They were to preserve the word for the New Testament congregation. And unfortunately, when it came to the name of Yahweh, when Judah went into captivity in Babylon, and after they came back, They started, they felt like the name was too sacred to pronounce. They started hiding it. And by doing that, as all these Gentiles became believers in the new covenant, many of them didn't know the name. You know, in the first century, they knew it because it's in our Bible. But some of them didn't know it afterwards. So, and especially to the world. To the world, basically, they didn't know it. So let's go there. Romans 2 and verse 17. This is where Paul is talking to our brother Judah. He says, behold, Romans 2 and verse 17, you who are called a Jew and trust in the Torah and boast in Elohim. And because you know his will in the things that must be observed, being instructed out of the Torah. And you have confidence in yourself, and you are a guide of blind ones and a light to those in darkness. Some things never change. That's the same way the rabbis feel today. An instructor of foolish ones, a teacher of children. You are the pattern of knowledge and of the truth as embodied in the Torah. Now you teach others, but you fail to teach yourself. You preach that men should not steal, yet you steal. You preach that men should not commit adultery, and you commit adultery. You despise idols, and yet you rob temples. You are proud of the Torah, yet you dishonor Elohim through the breaking of the Torah. And here's the important verse. For the name of Yahweh is blasphemed among the nations through you, even as it has been written. So if the Jews, and this is what happened, when the Jews came back from the captivity, right? And then even when they started putting vowel points in scripture, they incorrectly used the vowel points for Adonai and put them into the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, into the Tetragrammaton, so that you would incorrectly come up with Jehovah. That's where the name Jehovah comes up with. It's an impossible name. You can never come up with that name. I got a reference right here from the Encyclopedia Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, Jehovah, false reading of the Hebrew Yahweh. One of them says impossible name of Yahweh, because you can't come up with that. It's impossible with those four letters in Hebrew, Yod, Heh, Vav, Heh, to come up with Jehovah. Number one, there's no letter J in Hebrew. And even if you use Yehovah, it's the same way. You would not come up with three syllables with those four letters. So if our brother Judah never stopped pronouncing the name Yahweh, then the Gentiles around the world wouldn't have lost it, because that's where they're getting it from. Where do you think Jehovah's coming from? It's coming from the rabbis who tell us in their writings. They tell us, just in case they would forget and pronounce the sacred name, that they took the vowels from Adonai and they incorrectly inserted them into the name of Yahweh. We don't have time for that today. For next time, I'll start with that and just go over a little bit on how we know that name is definitely wrong and how it's impossible. You cannot come up with the name Jehovah or Yehovah in Hebrew with those four letters. So, unfortunately, our brother Judah did this though. So, by them doing that, the name of Yahweh is blasphemed among the nations through them. But you know something? Everything works for the good with Yahweh. Because Romans 11:32 says, for Yahweh has shut up all into disobedience, that he may show mercy to all. And can you imagine? In one way, I'm glad that the world doesn't know the name of Yahweh. Because every second of every day, someone in the world is cursing the name of God. There's all kinds of curse words with the name God. But God is a Babylonian deity. But yet the third commandment says, the one will not go unpunished who takes the name Yahweh in vain. Not the name of God, but the name of Yahweh. So maybe Yahweh, in his mercy, has allowed the unbelievers to be blaspheming a false Babylonian deity just to have less accountability to them. Because most of them don't know what they're doing, just like Yeshua said when he was crucified. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, is so merciful that he's kept the vast majority of the world hidden from his true name in order to protect them from inadvertently cursing or blaspheming his sacred name, and therefore bringing curses on themselves and their family. So this is important. When Yahweh says, you look at the commandments, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. But while when it comes to the third commandment, he says, you will not be guiltless if you take his name in vain. So what a blessing he has for that. And the other thing which is kind of neat is, like I said, names are transliterated. They're not translated. All the other words of languages are translated. So in every language, you have your own words. And there are some words that or it can mean one thing in one language and another thing in another language. But there aren't any universal words except for one. And I ask this question sometimes. Do you know the only word in the world that is the same in every single language? And some people say no or yes or what. And it's not. You know, it's even that is different in every language. There's only one word that is the same in every language in the world. And that word is hallelujah. Hallelujah, which is praise Yah. Praise Yah. It's the only universal word. And it's not hallelujah God. No. It's hallelujah, praise Yah, praise Yah. The name God is the name of a Babylonian deity, and that is not the name of our Creator, and it's not there. It should not be used, and the name of the Creator is Yahweh. Yahweh is a great creator of the universe. Anything that has life was created by Him. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew word for create, bara, from Genesis 1:1, in the beginning was Elohim, and Elohim created the heavens and the earth. The word is bara. That can only be used for Yahweh. You would never use that word for a human being, because Yahweh and Yeshua are the only creators of the universe. And since everything, whether it's trees, animals, people, planets, everything that we see and everything we don't see was created by Him, then we should be praising His name. Hallelujah. Be praising the name of Yahweh. So next time, I am going to stop here for tonight. And the next time, we will start out with going into how to pronounce the name Yahweh, why Yehovah or Jehovah is impossibility in Hebrew. And then we will get into the most also important name of the son of Yahweh, Yeshua. So tomorrow, we'll be posting a new sermon online for everybody. That I hope will be a blessing to you on Yahweh's, how Yahweh judges different than man. So Yahweh bless and Shabbat Shalom.